Step right up, step right up. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Hear the bizarre tale of the man who cast a wish that came true, and hear how that wish haunted him to his grave. Come on inside and experience the Midnight Sideshow. Jason watched as the sun set over the horizon. Yet another fantastic date. Fantastic, of course, as in that it went unbelievably poorly. He was 27 years old, and watched as yet another woman came and went. They all said the same things. He had a great personality, but he wasn't what they were looking for. Well, most of them said that. Some of them were more direct and made statements about his entirely too skinny frame. He wasn't manly enough in that tiny body, they'd said. He wasn't sure which was more insulting, but they both hurt the same way. He thought this one would be different. They had so many interests in common, at least according to the app. But as it turns out, there were people out there who padded their apps to make themselves more interesting to potential dates. This was the first time he'd met someone who had outright lied about being a painter. Who lies about being able to paint? Jason could paint, but never felt like it was a real reason to brag. It's not like I carry a guitar slung across my back wherever I go, he thought. It's just painting. Bob Ross does it, and it's easy. Anyone can paint. Why would you lie that you can paint? So stupid. He sighed and stood. The sun below the horizon now, and he went for his car, desperate and alone. He didn't see the man in the distance, watching with a plastic grin. On his drive home, he passed a gas station where a commotion caught the corner of his eye. A woman was struggling against several men on the far side of the building, leading her into the thicket behind the store. They were winning. Were they going to rape her? He slammed into a U-turn and raced into the lot, headlights directly on them, and rolled the windows of his gigantic truck down. "Step away from her," he said, as menacing as he could. He wasn't sure if he sounded tough or pathetic. His nerdy glasses probably didn't help. The men laughed. "What are you gonna do if we don't?" "I'll mow you down," he said, revving his truck engine. The men laughed. "Aren't you worried about hitting this little chickie here?" "Not really," he said, revving again, now speaking with concerted malice in his voice. "You see, I'm a fantastic driver. If anything, I'll break one of her arms. Stinks, but not the end of the world. You, however, won't have lungs. Let her go. You have 3 seconds. He began revving his engine again, and the men looked at each other with moderate concern, and one said, "I think this guy's crazy enough to do it. Yeah, let's get out of here." The three men ran into the woods and threw the woman down. She began sobbing and stumbled over to Jason's car.
"Thank you. Those men. They..."
"I know. But you're safe now. Where's your car?"
"My ex dropped me off here. I think he might have paid those guys to attack me."
"So you don't have a way home?"
"Or a home to begin with," she said, rolling her eyes. "I paid the rent, but the name on the apartment, it's his. He's probably already changed the locks."
Jason had an idea.
"Get in. You can stay with me for right now."
"Wait, really?"
"Wait.
What's the catch?"
She stopped and eyed Jason suspiciously.
"No catch, just being a nice guy." "Nice guy's got girls, right?" "Nice guy for real?"
"Or r/nice guy.
Jason laughed. "Are those guys not the r/nice guy type? Come on."
She decided that he was in fact a nice guy, but secretly kept her knife in her hands just in case. If only she'd been able to reach it when she'd been attacked, she wouldn't be in this mess. On the way to his house, they decided to tell the police about her attack. While standing by, he learned that her name was Bianca, and that her boyfriend had previously been quite the douche, having assaulted her several times in various capacities, and even kidnapping her at one point. The details on that weren't clear, but the police knew about it, and didn't seem to be surprised when she mentioned it. She then informed the police that the three men who attacked her looked like men from her ex's Facebook, and used the social media site to turn them in. After all was said and done, Bianca looked exhausted. "I knew he would try something like this," she said, shaking her head. "He told me I couldn't leave, but I thought I knew better, and..." "Bianca, you've left," Jason said, putting an arm around her. "You're done with him. He doesn't own you, he can't hurt you, he has no idea where you are. You're safe." Jason helped her to her feet, and the two began to walk to the car. Jason suddenly asked, "Are you hungry?" "I'm hungry." He wasn't actually hungry, of course. He had just had dinner with someone else. He was actually quite full, but he sensed an opportunity, and he took it. After all, what could one dinner date hurt? Neither they nor the police, as they left, saw the man standing just beyond the tree line. The same one from before. The man with the plastic grin. Okay, so after I explained it like 12 times, right, what does he do? He does it again. Yes! The two laughed heartily at the end of the story. She was smiling a huge smile, shaking her head at his friend's dumb response. It seemed to be going well from Jason's point of view, so he asked her what was on his mind. "So, you're recently single. Any plans to get back in the game?" She sighed and looked down at her plate, as if hoping her pancakes would give her the answer. They didn't. "I really thought he was a good guy," she said, shaking her head. "I didn't have any real reason to think otherwise. Have you ever gone out with someone who seems fantastic? Like, they say and do all the right things, but they turn out to be, well, not so good." He finished her sentence, and she brought up her gaze to match his. "Yeah, exactly. I've had my fair share. In fact, I think we've all had. But you know, I think actually that's all I've had. I don't think I've had any others." She nearly spit out her coffee. "Shut up! Okay, make me feel better. Tell me one." "What? Come on, tell me one of Jason the Magnificent's failed dates." Jason the Magnificent? He thought to himself. "Okay, but this one's a doozy." Jason then told her story after story of failed dates, which prompted fits of laughter from Bianca, which he took as a good sign. As they got back in his car, she smiled at the end of the last story. "Well, don't worry too much," she said. "You seem like a really great guy. You'll find someone. Guys like you always do. And girls like me always miss them by a few inches," she said, laughing again. "You don't have to," he said, picking up her hand. She recoiled, a shocked look on her face. She could see her abrupt response had hurt him and tried to recover.
You seem nice. I just...
"Let me guess. It's my face, right? Or my body. I know I'm not much to look at. I'm not exactly
No.
Jason, that's not it." Jason stopped and looked up.
"I'm just not ready for a relationship right now. You know what I just came out of. I'm sure you understand."
Jason was quiet.
"Okay. I'm sorry."
"Man, you weren't joking about those other dates, huh?" she kidded. "I've been rejected a lot," he said, looking away, deeply embarrassed.
"I misread the situation. I thought what you said about me being a nice guy, and you said you missed out. I thought maybe..."
"Oh, geez, I did, didn't I?" she said.
"Well, maybe some part of me does want that with you. Just not yet." she said, winking. Hey, I need to go back in. I need to run to the restroom. Would you mind waiting for me? No problem, he said, knowing fully well that she was going to find a back door and take off. At this point, she'd probably rather ride in a stranger's taxi than go with him. He wasn't an idiot, and he knew he'd blown it, and now she thought he was an ass. Seriously, I'll only be like 5 minutes. And no, I'm not going to take off. Wait for me. Wait, how did you- I'm a woman. Since you're a man and not a woman, you might not know this, but as a woman, my job in life is to understand men before they understand themselves. It's how we stay alive. Nothing against you. You seem sweet, but in my experience, most men tend to be... Well, you were there. You saw them, she said, opening the truck door and heading inside. So Jason, in spite of himself, waited. Sure enough, within just a few short minutes, she returned. Maybe she was different after all, Jason thought to himself. As they buckled up and drove off, neither of them saw the man with a plastic grin sitting in a corner booth, just visible from the window where he had been watching them since they had arrived. They got to Jason's apartment. Jason got her set up in his room. He would sleep on the couch, of course, being a gentleman. Once everything was satisfactory, they both went to bed. That night, Jason had a dream. The details were fuzzy when he woke up, but he remembered talking to a man with a weird plastic grin. They were in the guy's car. Or was it a horse-drawn coach? Maybe it was just a room that moved on its own. He didn't remember seeing anyone driving. The man certainly wasn't. He just stared out the window, the grin permanently fixed on his face. The odd man told him he was leaving him a present, and that he needed to use it carefully. It's very powerful, he said, still grinning. Wouldn't want to misfire with a nuke, would ya? The man turned to face him, revealing half of his face was rotted away. You've been warned. With those words, Jason woke up to a pounding on his door. He looked at the time. 2:18 a.m. Slightly worried that one of the ruffians from earlier had followed him, he slipped out of bed, padded to the door, and made sure to grab a baseball bat on his way, putting on his glasses. When he opened the door, no one was outside, but there was a fresh set of painting equipment left on the doorstep. Confused, he began to call out. Hey, anyone there? Is this for me? Hello? When no one answered, he carefully stepped out, collected the painting supplies, and withdrew back into his apartment, closing and locking the door. Jason loved painting, but he'd been so busy lately he hadn't had time to go to the local art store, as, in fact, local was 20 miles away. Now awake, he set the canvas up on the table and began to paint a practice image. This was something he did whenever he'd been away from his craft for a while. He took his glasses off and set them on the table. He was nearsighted and didn't need them for this. Trying to decide what to paint, he looked at his glasses sitting right on the table and decided, you know what? He would just paint a pair of glasses this time. And so he started to work. An hour later, his painting was complete, but he now needed to get back to sleep. It was now 3:22, and he, like the rest of mankind, needed more than 3 hours of sleep to function the next day. As he drifted to sleep, he wondered, in that superstitious way, if his dream and the painting supplies were connected. Of course not, his rational mind won out as he drifted off into the dark of sleep. When he woke up the next morning, his canvas was empty. Instead, there were two pairs of glasses on the table. Jason inspected the canvas and looked through all of the canvases that had been left. His painting was nowhere. Just then, a knock on the door. He picked up the same baseball bat, put on his glasses, and got ready once more. Opening the door, he saw the man with a plastic grin and the rotted half face. It seems you got my gift, did ya?
What do you want?
Jason asked what most made sense, but in reality, he knew none of this actually made sense at all.
Me? Well, I don't want anything in particular. I'm just curious what will happen if a mortal gets this power.
It's sort of an experiment. The man with a plastic grin began to dissolve into smoke or steam or something that floated away into the air.
You know how it works now. Play wisely.
Even after the last few traces of the man had drifted away, Jason stood in disbelief. He had a magic painting set that could create things. He thought about the application of it. He knew that making wishes could be a double-edged sword, at least from what he'd heard. You had to be very careful of what you wished for, or it could come back and haunt you. He tested the results of his first painting by putting on the duplicate eyeglasses, and they worked the same as his original glasses did. This didn't seem dangerous, though. It had given him exactly what he had painted. There hadn't been any unexpected deviances like he had heard of in movies, where the wish was wrong somehow, malevolent and seeking to destroy. This was just a second pair of glasses. And then, the idea hit him. Jason used half of his day off on this project. He paid special attention to specific details, making sure she had all the right curves in all the right places. He was careful to take his time and get everything just right. Her lips, her thighs, everything sensual. He then, to complete the work, painted himself into the image, holding hands with the woman. He had no idea how this would work. Would it? Could it? It could work, right? Was he allowed to wish someone to fall in love with him? He wasn't sure that what he had painted was even cosmically possible. Whether the thing he'd spoken to earlier was a god, a devil, a madman, or something entirely other, like an eldritch beast. Did they even have this much power? Was it their power in the painting, or was the painting more powerful than they were? As he finished, and also finished his musings, Bianca walked in from outside and set his truck keys on the key hook. Thanks for letting me borrow your truck to get to work. I promise I'll have my car tomorrow, she said, giving him a hug. And then a kiss on the cheek. So, Jason, I've been thinking. What about? He asked, wondering about all this sudden affection. I would like to go on a date with you. You seem like the real deal, she said, drawing back to meet his eyes. She then turned to the painting. Her face grew pale at the sight of the other woman. What's this? I didn't know you painted. Who is that? She said of the other woman. Oh, her? She's Miss I Haven't Met You Yet. You know, like the Michael Bublé song. Oh, she laughed, her nerves gone. I thought maybe you were seeing someone in the period of time between last night and just now. Yeah, that does sound crazy. Never mind. But possible in the insanity of online dating, right? Right, she said, chuckling. Jason quickly set a match to his painting and set it outside his front door to burn. This painting he wasn't interested in anymore, but the wish had been made, and the man watched from a distance as the painting burned. This time, however, there was no smile. His face was twisted into a cartoonish frown. That night, Jason woke up to something on his mouth. Someone was kissing him. His mind cleared as he realized it had to be Bianca that was laying on top of him, kissing him. Bianca, slow down. What happened to a first date? Who's Bianca? Asked the mouth that had been kissing him. I'm Chloe. He shoved Chloe off of himself and onto the floor and sat upright. Chloe was the name he had imagined the painted girl having. Is Bianca the one in your room? I took care of her.
face running pale, Jason ran into his room and found Bianca dead in a pool of blood and viscera, her intestines ripped out and her throat slashed.
What have you done?
Well, I knew she was trying to win your hand, baby. I had to have you all to myself. You know that. I'm crazy about you.
Jason remembered wishing that she would be desperately in love to the point of possession, and instantly regretted everything, now realizing that this was his double-edged sword. He grabbed his keys and took off, with her hot on the trail, screaming curses behind him. He managed to get into the truck and start it and peel out just before she could catch up, and watched her face shrink into the distance. And then she pulled out a gun and started shooting at him. He took the nearest right turn off the main road and got out of the line of fire, narrowly escaping with his life. Jason rounded a few other corners, kept driving, and realized he needed to get away from this woman. Jason appealed to get into the witness protection program and was granted. His name was now Eric, and he was a freelance illustrator who used paint as his medium. He traded his truck for an SUV, and all of these steps managed to get away from the painted girl's eyes and ears. Eric met another great woman within a year, and in 2 years they were married. Within 5 years, they had 2 children and a cat. Jason, or rather Eric now, was finally living the dream. One day, however, Eric came home from work to find his front door hanging open. He slowly walked through the door, and as he did, he could already see his cat's mangled corpse next to the bodies of his children. The cat had tried to protect them, and it had cost the cat's life. And then the children's. Where was his wife? Where was his wife? He walked carefully but quickly through the house until he was at the bedroom. He opened the door and found his wife tied to the bed with a gag in her mouth, the painted girl holding a knife to her throat. You tried to get another lover, Jason? He ran to save his wife, but it was too late. Her muted screams tore Jason's heart apart as he watched the painted girl slit her neck and had to listen as she choked on her own blood.
No!
Jason screamed, tackling the woman. He began to beat her with his fists, pummeling her face. But she was a supernatural entity that couldn't be harmed. She laughed a wicked laugh and then asked, "Are you ready to be mine?" He glared at her with malice in his eyes.
"Never!"
he screamed, taking her knife and turning it on himself, positioning it over his heart. He demanded,
"Till death do us part. You always wanted that, didn't you?"
"No, you wanted that, Jason. I was just following your orders." Jason realized this had been all his fault, and he plunged the blade between his ribs and into his heart, hoping that this final moment of mortality would be his absolution for his sins. Jason died 2 minutes later.
Within the history of mankind, there have always been people who doubted the existence of God, purely on the basis that if God really did exist, all of their dreams would have been realized. However, appearances can be deceiving, as a similar counter-argument proving God's existence could be made from the fact that all of our dreams have not been realized. While we often think we know what is best for ourselves and for the world around us, the cosmic space often throws curveballs and unexpected circumstances our way that can end up bettering our lives or worsening them in ways that we cannot imagine on our own. And likewise, having our wishes come true without any hindrance could in reality be a recipe for dire disaster. That is the danger of playing God, as some people call it. We will never know as much about the cosmic space we borrow for our short, short lives to make any real decision with the sort of clarity or wisdom an actual God would have. Until we achieve such wisdom and intellect, which will likely never come to be, I think it is best that we accept that some of our wishes remain just the way they are. Wishes, nothing more. I'm Edward Johnson. Have a good night.
Hey guys, thank you for tuning in to this latest episode of the Midnight Sideshow. If you enjoyed the podcast, go ahead and shoot me a message on our Instagram page, Midnight Sideshow Productions, or go ahead and leave a voice recording on our anchor.fm webpage. We are available for listening on Spotify, on anchor.fm, on Google Podcasts, a lot of the mainline podcast hosting websites. If you want to try and find us on your favorite podcast app, you probably will succeed. If you enjoyed this, it would also be awesome if you would share the channel with your friends. If your friends are into this creepy horror sort of stuff. If not, maybe don't. You may scare them. Either way, thanks for listening. You make all of this possible. I'm Edward Johnson. Have a good night.